card, which you can grab hold of. I've suggested that you may want to read a psalm each day, and I've suggested from Psalm 1 to Psalm 28. I forgot to mention, if you want to really seek about prayer, let me encourage you this week to read Nehemiah 1. Nehemiah 1. You'll see a person who was distraught trying to work out, and he prayed, and he fasted, and he turned to God. So have a read through Nehemiah 1 and really see how a pattern for prayer is there and how God spoke to him. Nehemiah 1. Well, we turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12, the last chapter. Remember, remember. Someone has written about remembering this following thing. How do I know that my youth's all spent? Well, my get up and go has got up and went. But in spite of it all, I'm able to grin when I recall where my get up has been. Old age is golden, so I've heard it said. But sometimes I wonder when I get into bed, my ears in a drawer and teeth in a cup, my eyes on the table until I wake up. Is there anything else I should lay on the shelf? And I'm happy to say, as I close my door, my friends are the same, perhaps even more. When I was young, my slippers were red. I could kick up my heels right over my head. When I grew older, my slippers were blue. But still I could dance the whole night through. But now I'm old, my slippers are black. I walk to the store and puff my way back. The reason I know my youth is all spent, my get up and go has got up and went. But I really don't mind when I think with a grin of all the great places my get up has been. Since I've retired from life's competition, I busy myself with complete repetition. I get up each morning, dust off my wits, pick up the paper and read the obits. If my name is missing, I know I'm not dead. So I eat a good breakfast and go back to bed. Well, it wasn't mine. I wish it was. We come to the last chapter of Ecclesiastes, actually finishing next week. Today we look at verses 1 to 8, where Solomon is speaking about youth, the effects of getting older, eventually dying, and judgment. In this chapter, Solomon's looking under the sun. He's looking out. He's seeing what's happening in the world, not necessarily not believing in God, but ignoring God and just saying, well, how is the world going? But he pleads with his readers and to us to remember, remember. If I asked you, what is one significant thing or event which especially you remember from when you were younger? Now, I know that's hard. Is there one person or two who may want to share one significant thing that you remember when you were younger? Anyone just got something you can remember when you were younger? Could be a long time ago. Anyone? Sue?
Family holidays down at Rye.
Great. Someone else? Dawn? Going to London to see the decorations when the Queen was crowned. Yeah. One more? Okay. Just when the Olympics, the torch across Hawthorne Road, yeah. I remember one. My dad was a plumber. He was a hard worker. He used to go up early in the morning and go up to town. He'd be working the whole day in ditches and so on. About 4:30 in the afternoon, I'd be there with a soccer ball. I knew when Dad would be home, and I'm just bouncing it. Dad would drive in, and after a hard day's work, he'd always spend 15 minutes with me kicking the soccer ball every night. It wasn't until I got older that I realised what that really meant when I started working, and I thought, that was great. Dad, every night, would kick. We actually broke the window once, and we both walked in and blamed each other, and Mum just smiled. And Dad fixed the window, so it was good. It wasn't a problem. Oh, I've forgotten the little thing. Hang on a sec.
So first of all, Solomon wants to tell us to remember while you are young. And we look at verse 1. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, he says there. Remember your Creator, days of your youth, before the difficult days come. Again, Solomon reminds us of the seasons of time. You may recall back to Ecclesiastes 3, a time to be born, a time to die, and all those things in between. Here, he's especially speaking to the youth, to younger people, or under the age of 70, which could include me. No, perhaps not. I have multicoloured slippers. Mine are not quite black yet. I've got some red bits in it, and I'm trying to stay young with multicoloured slippers, so they're my ones. I think my last ones were blue, but I'm trying to work on not going to the black ones so soon. And Solomon, throughout Ecclesiastes, says, reminds his readers of the vain pursuits of the things of the world. He reminds the youth that to have great expectations and of great things from it will yield no satisfaction in the end. Not to be deceived by the vanity. And don't be deceived by youthfulness. It too will pass. Your vigour does not last. It's a bit like the postcard that I once read that said, the best years of life have gone while I'm waiting for them just to begin. Actually, James wrote in James 4:14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapour that appears a little time and then vanishes away, as he speaks about it there. I know of no person on earth who can guarantee without question his or her next breath. Solomon even told us that death comes to all, whether they be wise or foolish, rich or poor. A young person who plans to serve the Lord in the future actually rarely does. But a young person who serves the Lord when they are young will more likely serve the Lord when they are a bit older. Remember your Creator, Solomon says, while you're young, because you don't have a guarantee of remembering him later. Someone has given the following illustration relating to this. You'll never be sorry for taking too many pictures, but will always be sorry you didn't take enough. All too often, you can never go back and recapture the photographs you missed by not taking the opportunity. Of course, much easier these days with our digital cameras. I'm that old, I can still remember back to the older, used to buy film that was 24 or 12. You took pictures and hoped that they came out. You sent them off to the chemist and they came back and you thought, I left the shutter on again. No. Or this one wasn't a good one. But these days you can take hundreds of them. Then you've got to come home and sort them out. But what he's trying to say is sometimes you take the opportunity, do the things while you can, because the opportunity may not be there in the end. Solomon would say, make the best of the moment. Remember in chapters 8 and 9, he encourages, eat, drink, and enjoy the labours. Be content with all we have and learn from all that is going to happen, especially the awkward times. And he's saying the difficult times, he's saying to the young people, but to us as well. But when hard times come, and Solomon is saying they will come, the difficult times will come, a true relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ will help. Answer a lot of questions, purpose in life, even evils in life. I made reference in your message notes to 2 Corinthians 12:9-10. Paul writes this, and he's talking about the Lord here. The Lord said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities than the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Some people, even Christians, when they do get older and things change, maybe it's an illness, maybe it's a terminal illness, can sometimes start to doubt God. How could he allow this to happen to me? I've heard people ask. But Solomon has been reminding us that hard times will come to the righteous and to those who are not. To those who are believers and those who are not. Difficult times will come to every single person. But Paul is reminding us in 2 Corinthians that in all these things, he recognized that God's grace is sufficient for those times. I suppose the question's got to be asked, because I've got to tell you, difficult times will come to you as well. How will you go? How will you go? Well, the question could be, how are you going in those times? Paul says, in your own strength, you may go down. But God's grace is sufficient. Turning to God. There's a great verse in Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths through difficult days or joyful days. Solomon is being very clear here. Difficult days will come. How are you going to go? That's always a question for us. Always a question for us. Remember now your Creator, the days of your youth before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Then he turns into 2 to 5 and talks about before you get older. Those passages there were great. Let me read them out to you from a different version called the CEV, the Contemporary English Version, as we thought about just all the grinders and so on. Let me read out this one here. Someday the light of the sun and the moon and the stars will all seem dim to you. Glasses, okay? Rain clouds will remain over your head. Your body will grow feeble. Your teeth will just decay, and your eyesight fail. The noisy grinding of the grain will be shut out by your deaf ears. But even the song of the bird will actually keep you awake. You will be afraid to climb up a hill or walk down a road. Your hair will turn as white as almond blossoms, or mine, it will just continue to fall out. You will feel lifeless and drag along like an old grasshopper. We each go to our own eternal home, and the streets are filled with those who mourn. That's talking about grinders, our teeth. We can't hear things anymore. You wake up in the night, you hear a bird singing. You go, will you please go to sleep? It's just talking about some things which happen in our life as we grow older. It's incredible the things that do happen there. I wrote in your news sheet about some of those things, so please have a read about the decline, loss of teeth, dimming of sight, hearing loss, sleep disturbances, fears of heights. Please pray for me. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to climb up into my garage roof and put some insulation in. I'm working on the theory. The plaster's there, so I can't see the concrete floor. Just don't stand on the plaster and I should be okay, all right? So this is going to be a challenge for me just tomorrow morning, climbing up into my garage roof to lay some insulation. I'm not afraid at the moment. Could be as I climb up into the roof. We'll see how we go. Yeah, it's called Lynn. Lynn's going to catch me. No, perhaps not. She'll ring you if it needs to be, and just go on the prayer. Call the prayer. Call the ambulance first, yeah. I never do things these days without Lynn being home. I have grown in wisdom to a certain extent. Do you know one of the biggest industries in Australia at the moment? Aged care. The biggest industry in Australia. Their aged care facilities being built everywhere to meet the needs of Australia's ageing population. Solomon is saying, growing old is inevitable, and he gives a realistic picture of growing old. And he says that with ageing comes problems. We can't do the things we once did when we were younger. And for many, that's a frustration. For some, they have no pleasure in old age. Lynn and I have been talking. It's been interesting looking at over in America. And I've been noticing Joseph Biden, before he stepped down, I kept on saying to Lynn, will he stop trying to run? He actually runs like an old bloke. He's proving the point. Don't run, Joe. Just walk in proudly. No, he's got to try to... You're looking old by running. I'm thinking, mate, it's gone. You can't run anymore. Don't do it. And as people get older, it's often harder to teach and reach out to them. It's much easier to teach a child how to ride a bike than to teach an adult. This principle is borne out in nearly every area of life. There are some things you can and should only learn as a mature adult, but some things learned in life are best learned at childhood. Today, you set a child in front of a computer, and they will learn quickly how to type and recall all the necessary information. However, set an older person in front of a computer and watch them struggle with even the basics. Where's the switch which says turn this thing on? It doesn't say turn on. This is born in many of life's lessons. It's easier to teach a child to do right than it is to teach an old person to change bad habits. When we get older, older people get stuck in their ways and often don't like change. That's why we find in Proverbs 22:6. Train a child in the ways he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it. Statistics prior to COVID, when looking at the age when a person responded and made a clear commitment as a believer, 64%, or nearly 3 out of 4, were 18 or under. And 46% of those, 2 out of 4, were under the age of 13, who made a commitment just to the Lord. And three churches, is that not? Thanks. At my previous three churches, we used to run sort of kids' holiday programs. And we could have up to 50 kids, which we spent time and they went home learning scriptures and singing songs. It's easier to teach them when they are younger. At Belgrave Heights Convention this year, at the youth convention, there was over 700 kids at the Belgrave Heights Youth Convention at that time, trying to do when they are younger. And people who have an affiliation with church in the past have drifted away. When they get older, often it's really hard to come back. So many other things have changed. But it's interesting, we've found through COVID, a lot of people have been asking questions, whether they've been sitting at home, asking questions about, what's this really all about anyhow? And I'll be interested to read some stats in a few years' time about some more senior folk who have now come to the Lord because of COVID, because of time really saying, this didn't make any sense anyhow. So I'll be interested to see the stats there. Note though, Solomon is not saying old age is not valuable. He's not saying that at all. That's the lie of the Western world. Everything geared for the younger person. Many cultures especially honour their older folk. Scripture reminds us to care for and respect our more senior people, but also learn from them. Seek their wisdom. Joshua and his father-in-law, Paul and Titus. Many people in the older age were used by God. Abraham, Joshua, Moses, Paul. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before the difficult times come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Then Solomon goes on in verse 6 to say, remember your Creator before the silver cord is loosed, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the well. Before you die, he's saying. You know, old age may creep up on us, although it usually creeps up much faster than we thought it was going to. Death may creep up on us too, but it may also come unexpected, like a sudden storm. This verse in there gives a picture of the suddenness of the unexpected death. It uses words like loosed, broken, shattered. It can happen like that. He's trying to say it can happen at any moment. We may imagine we have time to get right with our Creator before the old age comes, but we have no certainty at all that we will reach old age. And so we need no assurance that we will be able to get right with the Lord God before death comes. When young people die, it's often sudden, it's unexpected, often bringing more anguish to those left behind. Sometimes to do with some of the things that youth are able just to do. Adventurous things. Back in 1999, I recall a canyoning accident over in Switzerland where 21 young people were killed during an unexpected rainstorm which came down the mountain. A few survived, but many were just killed because of that youthful event. And you can never tell. You can never tell when your day will end. Someone has said, dying was the last thing I intended to do. Benjamin Franklin writes, reminds us, death takes no bribes. But for the believer, we need to be reminded in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 Corinthians 15:55-57, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is law. But thanks be to God, who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't need to be afraid. Maybe die. We know we're going to a far better place, a true home. My mum used to write a number of poems. Let me read out one that she wrote about death. She was writing this well before her death, but she writes this. It's called To Going Home. Dear Lord, please give me strength to face the great unknown. I do not think that I can walk through the dark alone. But if I can feel you near and know you'll hold my hand, all my fears will be calmed, even though I cross the strand. My fears are not death, 'tis dying that I fear, of pain and choking breath, with no one there to hear. And yet what can I fear if you are by my side? I'll hear you call my name and see your arms stretch wide. Then you'll receive me home, and there'll be no more pain. Well, you shed all the light, and there's no need of rain. No aging tired limbs with all their aches and creaks. No failing darkened eye that for the daylight seeks. For you have promised, Lord, we'll light the eagles soar, and we will walk with you in your light evermore. So I'll trust you, Lord, when my days on earth are done, to take me in your arms and gently lead me home. My mum died in a hospital, and I was with her by her side. Did she age? Certainly did. In the end, she couldn't even tell me, even perhaps just my name. But I was there. You never know what's going to happen. Aging is going to come. Can you trust in God? Mum did. Mum knew that even though she was going to die, that she will be going home. Well, he ends in the end part. And Solomon reminds us again of the sobering thought of judgment. Then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it, before you face God. Matthew Henry writes on this, "Man is a strange sort of creature, a ray of heaven united with a clod of earth. At death, these are separated, and each goes to its own place whence it came. First, that clod of clay returns to its own earth." Genesis 3:3-19. "Dust though thou art, and therefore to dust thou shalt return." Second, the soul that began of light returns to God. Genesis 2:7 reminds us, "The Lord God made of the dust of the ground and breathed into him the breath of life to make him a living soul." That's why it's so important to care about our soul than the body. You know, many people, their major concern today under the sun is how to keep our body looking great. Half cosmetic surgery done today is done by men. Choice estimates, on average, hair transplants cost anywhere between $11,000 to $18,000. There are many cases up to $30,000 to get a hair transplant. Unless you go to Thailand or one of the eastern countries, you may just come back with no head at all. Mine's just falling out. I've had it. For some, their biggest concern is to keep the lines from their faces. When you're 70, there are lines over all your body. My grandson, we were doing a jigsaw the other day, and he said, "Granddad, what's all those lines on your hand for?" I'm getting older, don't worry. Just like, he was fascinated. He said, "Okay, Granddad, what's that going on there?" Mind your own business. as I wrote in your notes, in Matthew 16:25, "What good it will be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? I'd rather go to heaven with no hair, with one leg and one eye, than to try to take all the cosmetic surgery with me. It doesn't work." You're getting older. I'm getting older. You wait till next week. See how old I become in 1 week. It could be really hard. See, after you're dead, it's too late to remember your Creator. After death is a time of judgment. The second death. Let me read out to you from Revelation. Revelation 20, as we think about, and we need to think about, and we find in Revelation 20:11-15, "Then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. The sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in heaven. And they were judged each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And anyone not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That's sober stuff. How are you going with life? How are you planning for afterlife? What's going on? What's really saying is there's going to be a time when we all have to stand before God. And we thought about that a couple of weeks ago. Even the believers, can I tell you, you've got to stand before God as well. Be answerable, but you're answering in your salvation as a believer. But judgment is coming. Every single person has to stand before God at some time. Well, let's wrap it up. All too often, God, our Creator, is not remembered in the youth and is totally forgotten in old age. Solomon himself started out right, and God blessed him in an unusual way. God actually asked Solomon, what is your desire? Solomon just asked for wisdom. And God granted him and that much more. But then Solomon forgot about it all. Forgot about the Lord. He lost everything. The things he was trying to gain. Thus his life, as he writes, became a vanity of vanities. And Solomon now writing Ecclesiastes is writing him when he's really old. And he's going, hang on a second. I remember now, what earth was I doing? Let me encourage you. That's why he writes Ecclesiastes for, to say, don't go down my road. Please don't go. Please remember, learn what I've learned. You see, he finishes up in Ecclesiastes 12:8, looking at under the sun, and he says, vanity of vanity, says the preacher, Solomon. All is vanity. Youth and vigor does not last. Solomon writes and pleads, and can I plead with you? Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Remember your Creator before the silver is loosed, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. That's Solomon's. He says, please remember. Please remember. We're going to finish our service by singing a hymn, an older hymn. It's called, I Know Not Why, God's Wondrous Grace. Verse 4 goes like this. Can you do that for me, for Jenny, please? No. The next slide, not the hymn. The next slide. My slide. My slide. Don't go to the song. Thank you. We're getting there. Beautiful. Thank you. That's the song. Verse 4 goes like this. I know what of good or ill may be reserved for me, of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. Chorus, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill. You have no idea what's going to be in store for you tomorrow or next week or next year. No idea. Of weary ways or golden days. I pray that you all get to a really senior age, at least 69. I'm 70 this year at some time. I don't know about it. But the challenge is, and as Paul wrote, are you trusting God? And will you trust God when those difficult days come? Because they're going to come. He's there for you no matter what's going to be in your life. That's what we sing this song about. So I'm going to invite the musos to come forward. I'm going to pray as they do, and we're going to sing this great hymn. But I want you to, as you read, we sometimes sing songs and just go, oh, that's another song to sing. Can I encourage you to think about, can you sing that chorus, but I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able, not you, he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Let me pray, and then we're going to stop and sing this great hymn. Father, thanks for these words. They're challenging words, because, Lord, we don't want to get old. But, Lord, as we live under the sun at this time, we are going to get old, and difficult days are coming. And Solomon has reminded us, please help us. Help us grow old, but also grow more in our faith and trust and knowing that you can hold us. Now, Father, as we sing this song, remind us again of your love and grace, we ask in the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. We're going to finish off with a benediction, a song. To show how old I am, I remember seeing this back at Moorabbin Baptist Day about 65 years ago. And I can, it was almost like, it's a scary thing, almost like yesterday. Where did the years go? Solomon tells us, you are going to grow old. I can still remember this. I could almost sing it without actually having the words. Can I have the words up there, please? From Jude. Getting old, isn't it? I know I'm getting old. Let me just read out from Jude. Now to him who's able to keep you from stumbling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Saviour, who alone is wise, be glory. I don't want you just to sing this. We just sing stuff and don't really think about what we're singing. Do you really believe that? He is able to keep you when you fall, and you will fall. But are you willing to put your trust in him? That's what this is all. That's what Solomon has been trying to tell us. Let's sing this great song and really sing it and really believe it.